Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, How to Connect with God. You are studying Lesson 2, Live Like God is in You. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. Father, we praise you and thank you for this broadcast. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to the first chapter of the book of Colossians. And if you remember, yesterday where we left off was talking about the great exchange at the cross where Jesus died. And to me, to anybody that's ever studied it and anybody that's ever had any kind of revelation, it's absolutely the most exciting thing that can happen in the life of a human being. It's just the greatest thing there is. And as we've said before, it's a dirty shame. It is a rotten shame that not any more of the body of Christ knows about it than they do. But they're finding out about it, praise God. And there are people all over the world that are finding out who they are in Christ Jesus, and that we're not a bunch of whipped spiritual dogs, but we are reborn the family of Almighty God, and greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Colossians chapter 1, once again, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father who's made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are able to partake of it. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Let me make this comment about that right there. He delivered us from the authority of darkness the very millisecond that Jesus was raised from the dead. I want you to know, in the mind and heart of Almighty God, all of mankind, as far as He was concerned, is free from the authority of darkness right there. Right then and there. Now then, He has delivered us from the authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That happened when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. And when you did that, you see, that's all you had to do to be free from the authority of darkness. That's the reason the devil did everything he could do, from inventing every kind of a wild religion you can think of, to the point of telling you there ain't nothing to all that. I mean, he tried everything he could keep you from doing that. But once you did it, there ain't nothing he can do about it, because we've been delivered from the authority of darkness. And when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you were translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. I mean, television wasn't created for the devil. Television wasn't created for bad information and bad movies and crud and killing and destroy. No! Television was created for and by Him. The worlds were created for and by Him. And I'm going to tell you something, dear one. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, welcome to where all things rest
in the hand of the Creator. Praise God. No use you going without. No use in your table not having enough. No use in your bills going unpaid. No, 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 no. He'll meet all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Or better put, like the Scripture said, He has met all of your needs. Now, what you and I need to do is learn how to receive from, through, and by Jesus what is already ours and what has already been done in His name. Amen. Now then, I want to read to you a verse of Scripture in the 3rd chapter of 1 John, and we'll catch up then where we were yesterday. In this 3rd chapter of 1 John, there's a statement made here. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, in this is the children of God manifest and the children of the devil. Now, don't misunderstand what the King James translation has said here in that scripture. This is not saying that you'll never sin again, and you can't do that, because you can go right over at the 1st chapter and find out, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So it couldn't have been what he was saying here. What he was talking about is walking in love. And he's talking about the Father and talking about our fellowship with the Father. And the fact that once a person is born again, he's made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life in his spirit, down inside, in his innermost being, there's no longer a desire to sin. There's no longer a desire to sin and get away with it. Now, his old flesh may put him under a lot of pressure and drive and push him to get him back into the habits and the lifestyle that was killing him before he made Jesus Lord. But what he's saying is his seed, the very seed of Jesus, people that know Jesus are not looking for a way to sin and get away with it. They're looking for a way to get the sin out of their life. Now, that's what he's talking about there. Now, he's talking about the children of God and the children of the devil. The only reason anybody's a child of the devil is because they just hadn't made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Because they've already been delivered from the authority of darkness. But if they've never accepted Jesus as Lord, they've never been translated out of that family over into the family of God. See what I mean? So when that occurs, they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Amen. Then the Spirit of God causes them to be reborn. They're no longer an alien from the family of God. They are now in the household and the family of faith. See, they've been translated over into the kingdom of God. Now, yesterday, when we closed, we were talking about that. This family, we'll put the family over here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He's not their head. Now, I don't care what religion they're in. I don't care whatever they're doing. If Jesus is not their head, then they got big problems. Now, if they're over here, they identify with Adam. They identify with the fall. They identify with sin consciousness. They identify with unworthiness. They identify with sickness and disease and the storms of life. They identify most of all with hopelessness. Because there's no hope in their lives, and death is a disastrous end. See, that's not true now. Over here in this family, the family of God. Now, Jesus is our head. He is the head of this family, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, translated into the kingdom of His house. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is a faithful high priest over His house, whose house we are, see, if we made Him Lord. So now here is the household that Jesus is head over. And over here is the household that Adam represents, or he represents the fall, he represents the sin. That's where Satan got his authority, was from him, see? So he represents that over there. You either identify with one or the other. You identify with Adam. You identify with failure. You identify with the woes of the world. I'm no good. I don't have enough. I can't make it. And that's terrible, awesome shame is so many people have been translated out of this family over here, over into the family of God, but hang on to the Adamic identification. You know what I'm talking about with that? I mean, been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, but still crying and carrying on about being so unworthy, so undeserving. Oh, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which is true. But if you read the rest of the third chapter of Romans, he wasn't majoring on falling short of the glory of God. He said the righteousness of God is manifest and upon all and unto all them that believe, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you were removed from that family and put over into this one. And you need to begin identifying with it in your heart, which you did when you made Jesus Lord. You need to begin to identify with this family of God that Jesus is the head of with your speech. You need to be identifiable. I mean, people need to know who you are by the way you talk. And most Christian people, I mean, you know, you can't tell much difference in them. One fellow said one time, he said, you know, if they passed a law against being a Christian in this country, I wonder how much evidence there would be to convict most of the people that go to church. Not much. You can't tell the difference in them much during the week. They cry the same old blues and all that hold their arm, you know, oh, dear God, oh, how are you doing? Well, not too well. My business is failing, you know, no good. Well, you know. Well, how about Aunt Minnie? Well, she ain't expected to live. Well, how about Uncle Fred? Oh, you know, Fred, I mean, dear God, you know, he's still sick. We don't know what to do with him. Well, how's your wife? I don't know. I ain't seen her in a week. Well, how's your kids? Well, Freddie's on dope and Susie's, you know, stealing or whatever. I mean, man, to hear you talk, we can't hear any faith. We don't hear anything about Jesus. There ain't nobody knows you're a Christian. There ain't nobody. Well, I don't want to say that off out in public. My God, my dear heart, out in public's where you need to be saying it. Amen. So you need to identify with the family of God, with Jesus as your head, wherever you are, in your heart, in your speech, and in your actions. Now here's where, I'll tell you, here's where the excitement comes. And this is where it becomes real on the inside. It's not your religion. My God, man, this ain't a religion. This is God and His family. We're one together with God Almighty. We are a new race of man. We're not identified by the color of our skin. We're not identified by the where we were born on the earth. We're not identified by our back culture. We're not identified by who our mama and our daddy was. We're identified by the resurrected Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Our inner man has been reborn, and we're no longer an alien to the kingdom of God, nor are we an enemy to the righteousness of God, but we belong there. We've been reborn. Now then, this is the part where it gets real. This is when it just becomes a reality to you, and I mean, you just say it before you think about it. You act like it before you have time to think about it. I mean, it'll transform you by the renewing of your mind. Let's stand the cross of Calvary right here, okay? There's that other family over there, the family that of the devil. They legally belong to him. I mean, they may be good folks and all that. I'm not damning them. But the fact that they've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life is the only thing that's keeping them out of this family. And the only reason they hadn't done it is probably they haven't heard what I'm preaching to you right now. You got a bunch of Christians that don't ever tell anybody. Just go down to their fancy stained glass window and go down there and shout and hoop and holler and cry and bawl and squall and go on back home. Don't mention it again. And that's a major problem. The problem is of no reality on the inside of you. I can't help acting like this, man. I mean, this is me. This is the way I am. And I don't care who I'm talking to. I'm just liable to not say, glory be to God, hallelujah. I don't care what they like. I mean, that's me, brother. Now, it wasn't always me. You know, I used to say, blam-a-giga-blam-blam-blam, and no telling what I'd liable to say right out in public and glory and say, dear God, you got the worst mouth. I said, I didn't say nothing wrong. She said, you did too. I mean, it just flowed out of me. Why? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And the reality of what I'm going to show you right now is the thing that'll come so alive in you that I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're the chief executive officer of the biggest bank in America. I don't care where you're in jail for robbing the biggest bank in America. I don't care if you're sitting out on the street corner and then, man, you ain't got a snuff can left in your life. I mean, I don't care who you are or where you are. If you get a hold of this, it'll turn you into a Bible-toting, powerhouse, gospel-preaching child of the living God that knows who He is, knows who she is, and absolutely will not tolerate Satan, and the love of God flow out of you and flow out into the lives of others. That's the kind of people I'm talking about. Now, to identify with Adam is to identify with destruction and death, or to identify with the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. To identify with Jesus is to identify with life and His resurrection. Jesus said, I've come that you have life and have it more abundantly. 14 scriptures from 12 books of the New Testament tell us that we are the sons of God when we make Jesus Christ Lord. Now, here's the cross of Calvary. Here is the family that identifies with Adam, death, destruction, and the fall. Here's the family that identifies with Jesus. Jesus is head of this family. Now you watch this. Put yourself as a witness to what happened at the cross. The great exchange. Our identification. Jesus died. Jesus accepted death when He didn't deserve to die. He received it anyway for you and for me. He was your substitute at that cross. He was my substitute. He did that so I don't have to. He did that. He went into hell itself so that I don't have to go there, so that you don't have to go there. He didn't deserve to go there, but the Bible said He went there as your substitute and mine. So now look at this. Jesus died to give me life. I accept His death and I identify with His life. Amen. Resurrected life. I've been born again, and everlasting resurrection. The life of God has been imparted inside me, and I identify with that. I want to talk about that. I want to say that. I want to speak that, confess that all the time until it is literally built into my consciousness and transforms my thinking. He died to make us alive. He exchanged death with His life. He was made sin here at this cross that we might be made the righteousness of God, that we could stand in the presence of Almighty God without any sense of guilt or damnation or not belonging there, because He gave us His righteousness. He was made sin with our sin that we might be made righteous with His righteousness. Accept it. Receive it. Act in it. Talk about it. Act like it's so. Just act like the New Testament's true. I know God hears me pray. Well, to somebody that doesn't know, they think you're bragging. Sounds like some braggadocious thing. But no, I'm not bragging. I'm talking by faith. I know God hears me. Why? Well, Jesus went to the cross, was made to be sin, so that I'd be put in right standing with God. He became weak. He bore our weaknesses, the Bible said. He bore our infirmities, which is another word translated weakness. He became weak to make us strong. The Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong. Now, how can I say that when I feel like, you know, I got rubber legs and I'm just about to cave in? How can I say that? Because I'm looking at that cross. I'm looking at the resurrection. Thank God I don't live over here where weakness is anymore. I've been translated over into this family. Strength is the head of this family. Power is the head of this family. He became weak. He bore my weaknesses. He bore my pain. He bore my infirmities, that I might have His strength. And when it looks like I can't go any further, I can begin to say, no, thank God in Him I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He suffered shame, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, to give us His glory. You ought to read that 17th chapter of John's Gospel sometime when he is praying to the Father and all of the things that he prayed and said, Father, I give them my glory. Oh, hallelujah. You ought to receive it and begin to walk it. Oh, I thank you, God, that I'm able to walk in God's glory. I'm able to walk in God's glory. You're not talking about your glory. You're talking about God's glory. And His glory and His strength and His power, His righteousness and His eternal life that dwells inside me will put me over and make me a success in this situation. Amen. So He suffered shame to give us glory. He went to hell to take us to heaven. Heaven is my home. I do not question ever any day, hour, minute of the day. I want you to know on the second day of November 1962, I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I received Him as my Savior. And from that day to this, I have never questioned not one second whether I was going to heaven or not. Heaven is my home, brother. I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And all that happens when this body lays down is you just through with it and kick it off and move. Praise God. Go on home where you belong. Go on home. This world is not my home. No, sir. Thank God I'm just a passing through. Hallelujah. I'm going to do my job while I'm here. And when I get done, I want you to know I ain't going to be here 8 seconds longer than when I get done. And when God says I'm done, woo-hoo-hoo, y'all can just forget me because I'm gone, brother. This ain't where I belong. I'm going to Jesus. I belong to Him. He's my life, and I'm a believer, and I'm not a doubter. So He went into hell to take us to heaven. He was condemned to set us free. Thank God He was condemned that we might be able to read Hebrews 4:16 that says, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, I couldn't come boldly to the throne of justice. There's no way I couldn't make justice. But I can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. Hallelujah. He was made sick with our sicknesses and diseases that we could have divine health and stand against the sickness and the disease and stand on the word of the living God whereby we become partakers of His divine nature. And I mean not just pray and get healed after you get sick, but stand against it. Take a bold stand against it in the name of Jesus and walk in health. Walk in divine health. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. He was cast out of the presence of God Almighty that we could be made welcome there. Oh, don't you remember when He cried and He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You know why He went through all of that? So that you could say, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you even to the ends of the earth, even to the end of the age. Glory to God. You need to start saying that. He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. Even when you don't feel His presence, even when you can't feel His hand, even when you can't feel anything except just seem like eternal damnation in every direction, you can just rest and be assured since He bore it for me, I don't identify with it. I identify with He'll never leave me nor forsake me, even to the end of the earth. Father, we pray. My God in heaven and in earth, how could we ever thank You for what You've done? We can't. But we can start and we can begin. And thank You for all of eternity that we're in the family of God with a household of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.